lesson three this morning of the I Am's of the Bible, and talking with Garrett, I'll go ahead and complete 12 lessons that I have, and the last two Sundays, Lord's willing, of this quarter, he'll finish up his last two lessons on God's providence, so we don't break them up anymore. We have begun this study with the I Am. The first one was Christ has reference to it, says that I am the door. And we learn from that Christ is the only entrance to the Father, or the only access to the Father. And last week we looked when Christ said that I am the bread. We made the comparison that the bread of what this world has to offer, denominationalism, compared to the true bread. Christ was the true bread. And this morning we'll be looking at, in lesson three, I am the light of the world. Again, all these I Am's, John records nine of them in the book, the Gospel of John, and three of them in the book of Revelation. And again, you may look and you may find more than what I have here, and if so, be good to study on. But I passed out a sheet last week, if anyone needs one, the I Am's, the subjects that we'll be studying each week on that for your study that you can study also on that. But again, this is a class. It's not a lecture of me. It is a class, and participation is greatly encouraged. If you have points to bring out, be sure and do that. And if anything comes up we don't understand, we can study on that and come to the correct conclusion of what God's Word teaches. But Jesus said that I am the light of the world. Jesus came from heaven as the image of the invisible God, the very image of God's substance, and the brightness of divine glory. We're told that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Colossians 1, verse 5, Paul there says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. When you deal with the word image, what comes to your mind? When you study from the book of Hebrews, the word there, shadow, is sometimes used, okay? When you think of a person's shadow, what do you see? Well, you see the outline. You don't see the distinct features of a person, just the outline of that person. This is not what this word is having reference to. He's the expressed image of the Father, okay? So we need to understand that. Hebrews 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person. Okay? Not the shadow, but He is the expressed image of the Father. In John 10, verse 30, Christ there says, I and my Father are one. We have reference to that as in purpose. They're one in purpose. But we understand that when Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father, Jesus replied, He that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, they've seen the expressed image of the Father. And how, though?
In what he says and how he conducts himself.
Uh-huh. So that's who the Father is. And we have these words today for us. But we need to understand Christ's role and nature, His role and purpose when He came to this world. As we mentioned, Jesus sometimes used metaphors to depict who He is. He refers to Himself as the bread, the light, the door, the shepherd, the resurrection, and life, way, truth, and the vine. Again, all these metaphors describe who Christ is. Okay? And see who Christ is, we understand who the Father is also. John includes all the I Am's claims of Jesus. And John focuses more on the King and His kingdom than any other gospel writer. So that's who John tries to set forth. It needs to be who he's trying to set forth today, who Jesus is. Okay? When you preach the gospel, what are you preaching? You're preaching death, burial, and resurrection. That's what people need to be taught, first and foremost. That's what the apostles were commanded To preach, to go out in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What were they to preach? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, what? They were to preach the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what puts you into the kingdom.
That's what Peter and all of them did at the beginning. They convinced them that they had killed the Son of God, that his death, his burial, his resurrection, that's where salvation was.
True.
Those were points that proved that Jesus was the Messiah, different apart from any other man. And that's what they were to convince people of, is that Jesus was the Messiah, and it was proven by the resurrection.
And that was Paul or Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2, that they had crucified the very who? Son of God. But now he is risen, and he's exalted. He's sitting at the right hand of who?
God.
Okay? And so that's what we need to focus upon. When you're preaching, what do you first preach people? The very thing we're talking about, the gospel, okay? And it says, You preach that, then Luke says you are to teach them after that. That's what puts you into the kingdom, okay? It's not every other thing that, here's what you need to know. He says, here's what you preach. Then after you put them in the kingdom, you teach them from there, okay? Again, that John focuses upon the king and his kingdom. Jesus staked his claim to be both the one possessing light, his own person, and the one bearing light to the world. John 8, verse 12, Christ there says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Well, when you look at the light, what comes to your mind? And hopefully we can look at that in this lesson.
Something
light and darkness, Mark.
It reveals, illuminates.
Huh? What else reveals and illuminates?
Truth.
So when you substitute truth for light, darkness for that which is not truth, that's what you're having. When Christ says there that I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. The only way you can follow Christ is through how? The Word. Okay, the Bible. John 9, verse 5, Christ says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's the true source of life to those in the world who are in darkness. John 12, and verse 46, I have come as a light to the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. Again, this idea of light and darkness, truth and false, you have that. Those possessed with light walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1, verse 7. We're told that. Someone will turn there and read. If we possess the light that Jesus offers, the only conclusion we can come to is that we'll do what? Anyone has it? Go ahead and read. Ray?
Verse 6.
Verse 7. 1 John 1, 7.
But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Right, if we have the true light, as Christ is the true light, we'll walk as he walked, falling upon this earth. And therefore, if we do that, we become what? We become light bearers. That's what Matthew 5 and verse 14 says. You're the light of the world. It's the reflection on who we are. If we follow the true light, we will be reflectors of Christ. And Christ was a reflector of whom? The Father. Okay? And so you have that. John 1, verse 9. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. There is not, as Calvinism talks about, just certain few that obtain this light, whether they like it or not. But he's a light to all who come into the world from this day forward. To those who have been born, he's going to be that until time is no more. From this we learn that the light in him brings life to the world that is dead in sin. That was God's purpose, to save those who were in sin. John 8, verse 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again, the idea that we must follow him. The light came, but because the light came, not all will be enlightened. And we understand from the scriptures that the way to heavens will be very narrow. There's going to be very few that accept the true light. And we're given the reason of why that's going to happen. What is it? Man loves darkness. Man loves sin more than love light. The pleasures of this world. And we looked at that Satan is something that Satan used, 1 John 2:15-16. That the tools that Satan have are what? The lust of the flesh.
Proud.
Those are strong things because we're fleshly people. And those have a great pull on us. That we're giving up the pleasures we see everybody else see for something that we've not yet attained. But these we can have right at our grasp every day. And we deal with people in this every day. These people are of the world. John 8:12. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, have the light of life. The light came. Again, but not all is enlightened. John 3:19-21. Someone read.
And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world. Men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Again, light has come into the world, but not all men love the light. They love the darkness. They practice their evil deeds in this world. And like the light of the sun, which shines upon all, the light of Jesus does not. All man benefits from God's creation. But all man is not going to benefit from the Son of God and His teaching. And that's something that we need to understand. That's why God has placed us here, that as bearers of the light, as reflectors of the light, we are to do what?
Take it to the world.
Take it to the world. And if you don't do that, in judgment, what's going to happen? We need to understand we're the called out people. Now, I'm not talking the building or the here. As individuals, we're the called out church. Okay? Our job is to what? If we're not assembled here on the first day of the week, what are we to do during the week?
We're
to be the pillars and ground of truth to others.
If we don't, we're that servant that marries
out. Yeah, you're right. Exactly right. We come here upon the first day of the week to encourage one another to remember the Lord's death. Very limited what we do as a collective. Most of our is those in Acts 8, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And that's our job. We are to be the reflector, the light of what God has given us. And that's His Son. John 12:46, man loved darkness. Someone will turn there and read.
That's whosoever believeth in Him shall not walk in the world as light. So whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness.
Okay, again, Jesus said, I've come into light that man should not remain in darkness. Mark 16:15 tells us why. We want to quote that. Going to all the world. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Mark. He's talking to Lowell. He's talking to Ray. He's talking to Paul. He's talking to individuals. The apostles were under this, but each one of them was to do what? We seem to tend sometime when you look at Acts chapter 2. Of course, the focus in Acts chapter 2 is placed upon whom? Who is the writer Luke focused on in preaching the first gospel sermon? Of the Jews, but who was doing the preaching?
Peter.
What was the other 11 doing, or the other 10?
They were two.
Okay? Because we're told that. But the writer of Acts focused upon Peter. and what he's teaching. Because it says there that everyone heard them preach in their own language. And so is the individual. You don't have the 11 apostles and just one spokesman. That's not what the church is neither. Okay? We have as individuals reflectors of who God, Christ is. We are his reflectors to go and preach as individuals, separate and apart from this. That's our function. We need, if you will, to understand that. Of course, in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, someone read. What's the product of this preaching?
15:7.
Mm-hmm.
And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe."
Huh? Believe what?
Believe the gospel.
Believe the gospel. In the process of believing the gospel, it would produce what, Ray? No longer in darkness. Okay? And so it's something that we need to understand. Tell me some products of light coming into the world, of Jesus coming into the world. Well, one, you're no longer in darkness. People don't have to dwell in darkness no more. That's one of the products from it. What else?
Galatians 5 gives you the fruits of the Spirit.
Gives us the fruits of the Spirit. How we should walk, how we should treat people, what we should do. Okay, what else?
Avenue to be saved.
All right.
Gave us instruction, gave us examples in his life, changed the law.
All right.
It showed us the nature of God. I mean, through Christ said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So, I mean, when we see his life, you see the nature of God himself in that.
Okay. When you look at John 8, verse 12, your thoughts on it. When Christ says, "I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This phrase, "the light of life," is having reference to what?
Way to eternal life.
Right? And so, Mark, does that make you feel on each day you walk this life? How does that make you feel?
It gives us hope, it gives us confidence.
It's life that we can enjoy, is it not? Knowing that. What else does light do? God exposes the darkness in 3 and verse 20. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to light, lest his deed should be exposed." And so that's what the light does, and that's what we are to do. It makes manifest the works that fashion us. People, if we are the reflectors, will see that in us. If Christ be in us. In 3 and verse 21. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen." The question we need to ask each day is, we get up, we go about our business, or are we going to be the reflector who we need to be this day? 1 John 1 verse 5. Here's another, if you will, product of it, someone will read. Braden, you have it?
"The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it."
Huh? Light shines in darkness. Darkness is not going to put the light out. Okay? The light, the true light, we're going to survive the darkness. There's a promise that we have, that God's always going to be there with us, and we will survive the darkness. John 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Light exists only in Christ. The word was God. In verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of man. Verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and there is no light without him. And so we have the source of life that Jesus has revealed to us and that we are to reveal to others. Do I have any thoughts on what we've said so far?
One of the purposes of why we are to manifest the light is solely to bring glory to God, according to Matthew.
Anyone else? The world today seeks enlightenment from diverse or many paths of the religions that are found in the world today. Some claim that he is not the only source of life. And reading, doing some background on this, an individual named Leroy Garrett has said that the same light that Jesus brought into the world is available to the people apart from Jesus. In a way, that's true. But what he's having reference to, whether you're in Christ or not, that light dwells in you. And we know what we've looked at so far that that's not true. The light of Jesus is not some partial light involving only the love of one's fellow man. That's not what we are. We are to have love for our fellow man, but that's not what we are to do for our fellow man. We are to teach him about Jesus, that he may come, or they, she may come to the light likewise. It's the light that enables one to follow Christ. And we're again in John 8, verse 12, we have read that. And it involves more than just taking a few steps. In other words, we don't start and stop. Start and stop. And you have that in the parables of the soul, the sower, that some steps were taken. But those that fell on good ground, they're the ones that continued. And that's what we need to teach people. That they're not a reflector for a week or for a day or a year, but they ought to be reflectors of God throughout their sojourn here upon this earth. We are not allowed to choose what steps we want to take, nor the rest. I'm not going to teach Gary and not teach Mark. Or Mark's not going to teach me and not teach Braden. As the command was to the apostles, going all the world, preach the gospel, we were talking, Larry and I. When you look in Laurel County, how many churches of Christ do you have?
Got 11.
11. We have us and Lily and Mount Zion. Yeah. One on 229 and one down on 25. That's five.
Hughie.
Flatwoods. Five. Flatwoods.
Yeah.
Seven.
Out here on
25. That's, I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Say there's seven. At the most, eight. Mount Zion, probably what? You've got to understand some of these are liberal. Okay, they don't hold to the true light. But just say they did. And Mount Zion is probably the largest church in Laurel County there, probably 100 plus. We're probably second. But all of those seven, how many Christians do you think would be involved in those? Huh? Let's give the number at 400. Okay? That would probably cover more than that. How many people in Laurel County that's not a member of those churches? What's the population? Anybody know the population of Laurel County now? It's grown so much.
It's about 7,000.
No.
More than
that? Oh, yeah.
That's just 10,000.
It's probably 7,000 in London.
Yeah, London.
34, you say 50,000, probably. You've got 400 people. What do we need as individuals focusing our preaching the light to? We're responsible for here, okay? We're responsible for here, Laurel County. I don't need to go to Michigan to preach somebody. I've got people to preach to here. Yeah.
2015 is 60,000.
So, in 15, and it's grown more than that now. It might reach 20, wasn't it?
But we're not wrong in asking someone to come, like, have meetings for us and to edify one another and to you know, bond the church as a whole. It's a universal.
Yeah. And so it's something we need to keep in mind, reflector, that we've got so much work here to do in this county. It's amazing how people try to redefine what the Bible teaches. And in effect, they destroy the biblical standard and ignore biblical authority. John 14, verse 6.
We talked about that before, you know, in our studies and whatnot, about how the majority of the things that we differ on, or that their life as opposed to Christ's life, are things that are unwritten, you know.
Yeah.
They're things that aren't here. And that's the sad part about it, is much of the turmoil, the division, the denomination that's in the world today is over things that aren't written.
So people, that's what a lot of denomination is based upon.
Yeah, like you said earlier, their own life. It's not the life.
John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's only one way to the Father. The access to him. Acts 4. In verse 10, let it be known to you all, as to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. And in verse 11, this is the stone, referring back to this man Jesus, which was rejected by the builders, who has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The light that came into the world. Jesus is the only way. One cannot take him out of the equation. You cannot go through anyone else, as denominations try this day to do, especially Catholicism. They say their own representatives upon earth, and that is the Pope. But Jesus is the only way. That's the only way you're going to have access to the Father. That's what we look at when we said it, when he said, I am the door. There's only one door. And Jesus said, I am that door. If anyone wants to have access to the Father, it would be through the one who brought light into the world, and it is the light of the world. Jesus still is a shining light today to some. Even though overall, especially in this country and other countries, he's not. But he's always going to be a light. There's always going to be a light in this world. And it goes with that his kingdom is going to stay until time is no more. So there's always going to be subjects in that kingdom. Reflectors of that until he puts down the rule and gives all authority back to the Father. So his kingdom is going to do it regardless of what peoples do and what the sins, the darkness they commit. That kingdom is not going to be destroyed. We have that assurance, because you cannot have a king, if you will, without subjects. Any thoughts? He is the only truth. If he is the only truth, then one cannot know the Father without him. If he is alive, there is no living except by him. And that we can believe or disbelieve. We have that opportunity. John 8, verse 12, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. Jesus qualified himself to be the light of the world in verse 14, when he says, for I know whence I have came, and I know whence I go. Again, he was sitting in this world for a short time. But during that time, light was seen by the whole world. Because we're told that the gospel was preached to the whole world. That was the command of the apostle with the others, going all the world to preach the gospel. And that was fulfilled. Man has failed in his efforts, that which once was preached to the whole world, to sustain that. And so we have today what you see, because of a lack of teaching. When you look at the Old Testament, the parents, the grandparents were to teach their children. And folks, we have failed miserably in this. That each one here this morning needs to take the blame for not teaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ early in to the children. And what the church is. It's the called out assembly of God's children. And it's something we need to understand. The Father bore witness of Him. In John 1, verses 7 and 8, John now says, this man, well, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, making distinction that John said, I'm not that light, but the one who I bear witness is the light. So John saw the light, and John wrote about the light. And therefore he concludes throughout the Gospel of John, the I ams of who Jesus is. So that we can better understand through John's writings of who we serve or who we are a reflector of this day. We will stop there. I'd like a little bit more on it. So, time is up. Any questions from anyone?
Well, see, I want to talk about we're supposed to be the light of the world. And, you know, we have to select very carefully on how we act and what we say. The only people we left in darkness are acting.